Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 1 again. Romans chapter 1. Now, before I read, let me make a couple preliminary comments. This letter by the Apostle Paul thus far, and we've come through it from chapter 1, verses 1, all the way through verse 17. This letter is flooded with hope because he keeps talking about the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. In verse 18, Paul now begins to expose us for what we really are. Do you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
I mean, the first 17 verses, it's hope, hope, hope. Now, I'm not saying hope dies. That's not what I'm saying. But it's hope. But now, in chapters 1, verses 18, all the way through chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul exposes us for what we really are. I said exposes us for what we really are. My title is this: God's Wrath is Revealed. And Paul, when you write that down, you capitalize I-S. God's wrath is revealed. Now I will say this: God's wrath is revealed against man's ruin in three major ways here by the Apostle Paul. First of all, man's ruin is declared to be under God's wrath because man's perversion of the natural order. That's chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And I will read just a couple verses, the beginning verses of that. For the wrath of God, what's that say? Is revealed. Not shall be revealed one day. Though that is certainly true. But that's not what Paul says here. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest, what's that say? In them, for God hath showed it unto them. And secondly, God's wrath is revealed against man's ruin in this, in man's finger pointing and his self-justification. That's in chapter 2, verses 1 through 29. And we see the heading of that in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. You see it? So God's wrath is revealed against man's finger pointing. And of course, he goes on to talk about self-justification. We'll probably look at that later. Thirdly, we see that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against man's universal, full, complete, total corruption. That's chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. And I will give you just a couple verses. Chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, is the Jew better than the Gentile? Now the Jew had advantage, but the Jew was not better. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, that's in what we call chapter 1 and chapter 2, we before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written, and I'm not going to read it all, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, I do realize that this religious world that calls itself Christian, this religious world that preaches a man-centered, free will-centered religion, a free will-centered gospel, if you will, which is not a gospel, but is a perversion of the gospel of Christ, will say, well, in chapter 1, the last part of chapter 1, Paul's talking about some distant act in the past against some rebels. And I will say, they are right. But those distant rebels are our ancestors. Those distant rebels are our great-great-great-great-granddaddies and great-great-great-great-grandmas. And the truth of Scripture is still true. And I'm going to use a word that's probably, an apple don't fall too far from the tree. And as a matter of fact, there are those who say, well, God's not doing what we read in chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. God's not doing that now. God did that way back yonder somewhere in the past. I will say that is partially true. But notice the change of past tense when he gets to verse 32. Who knowing, not new, but knowing the judgment of God, that they which not committed such things, but what? Commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do, not did, but do the same, but have not had. Do you see what I'm saying? So though Paul is speaking of an act of God, and we'll look at that in a moment, in the past, Paul is not saying it's all done and over with, because it still can continue today. There are those, of course, who when you get to chapter 2, say, well, Paul's talking about a bunch of Jews that were in the assembly at Rome. That is partially true. But whether we're Jews or Gentiles, we're all guilty of either finger pointing and or self-justification. And when we get to chapter 3, this man-centered works religion says, well, that's the way we were before we were saved. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is true. But by nature, we still sin and come short of the glory of God. What I'm trying to say is, Paul in chapter 1, all the way through from 18, verse 18, all the way through 3 and verse 20, is exposing us for who we are. So then, what is God's wrath? Do you know what the word wrath means? It means to be violent toward. That's one of the first meanings of this of the Greek. To be violent toward. To have abhorrence or hatred before. When it says that a man or a woman is under God's wrath, it is saying that God hates them. You hear what I'm saying? That's what the word wrath means. Hatred, hatred, abhorrence. It means anger. It means indignation. It means to be enraged at someone or something. You see, God's wrath is as holy as God is. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's wrath is as holy as God is. And God's wrath is his holy hatred against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold, it says here in the KJV, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word hold means to hold down or to suppress. And this is exactly what men and women are still doing today. They're suppressing the truth of God with their own unrighteousness. Now, I was going to give you this. I had it all wrote out, but I thought, no, there's no need to go into the details. But let me just give you a brief thought here. The word wrath, and one time it's translated vengeance in this book, in this epistle here. The word wrath is mentioned far more than the love of God. Think about that just for a moment. The wrath of God is mentioned far more times than the love of God. I'm not saying one means more than the other. I'm just saying the facts are Paul dealt more with God's wrath than he did with God's love. Now, Christendom, What do I mean by that? I mean professing Christianity. All denominations, and even those who are non-denominational. You understand today it's the vogue thing to say, well, I'm not of any denomination. Whoop-dee-doo. If you don't believe the truth of God, I don't care if you got a title. You're lost. And if you believe the truth of God, I don't care if you do have a title, you're saved. Christendom. It's all Christianity, all denominations, all non-denominational sects, whether it's liberal or conservative, whether it's papal or reformed, and you can go right on down the list, etc., etc., etc. All Christendom use the phrase God's wrath, but none define it scripturally. At best, it's usually defined as a final judgment of some sort. Am I telling the truth or not? God's wrath is defined as some final judgment of some sort to those who do not live right. And I say, no, it's far more than that. Yes, there is a final judgment coming in which God's wrath shall be poured out upon the inhabitants of this earth. But it is far more than that. Not living right may be, now listen to me, not living right now may be the revelation of God's wrath on you now. Did you hear what I just said? Most people think if I don't live right now, then God's wrath will be revealed one day on me. No, if you're not living right now, it may be that God's wrath is revealed against you right now. Now, how can I say that? Let's look at what Paul actually wrote. Chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is. Now, I am not an English scholar, but you know what that means. It's right now, present tense. Is that not true? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is what God says about the matter. It's not up to me to try to prove this matter. You say, well, there are people who are atheists. No, they're not. Because they get so mad when you question their atheism. You understand what I'm saying? They don't argue about Santa Claus. They don't argue about the Easter Bunny. They don't go off on those things, but they go off when you tell them you really know God exists, but you're just trying to lie about even that. You see, the fool has said in his heart, I will have no God over me. Because all of humanity has at least one God. And you know where that God is? Right in here. It's right in here. Let's look on. Because that, when they knew God, this is my opinion. It's only my opinion. I think Paul's talking about way back yonder in the beginning. Adam and Eve trained their children up in the way of the Lord. And that's evident from Cain. Cain knew what was right. Cain just refused to do it. You understand? And people were trained, but men's evil hearts led them into constant rebellion. But look, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible. And what's the first thing they did? Man. It wasn't beasts. It wasn't pieces of rock hewn out like a god. It wasn't pieces of wood hewn out like a god. Their first worship, true adulterated worship, was of themselves. Do you see it? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. And because of that, do you see that? Wherefore, right? And because of that, God also gave them up to uncleanness. This, my brothers and sisters, is God's wrath revealed from heaven now. Do you see it? That. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed, actually it means to exchange. They, rather than having the truth, they grabbed something else, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and looked and worshiped and served the creature even more, is it? More than the Creator. See, it is sin to worship anything other than God. But man thinks, well, I'll worship God, but God will not be supreme. That's what he's talking about here. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So be it, Paul says. This is the way it is. We don't debate this. We don't argue this. This is the way it is. Listen, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. What's he talking about? Homosexuality. But the problem wasn't initially homosexuality. The problem initially was they worshipped themselves. They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And God poured his wrath upon them and turned them over unto everything that's down in here. And then they fall into the most basest acts of humanity. You see it? For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. The women and the men. To do what? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. God's wrath was poured out. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, there's your atheist. She don't like retaining God in their knowledge, but it's there. And they can't help it, and they fight against it, and fight against it, and fight against it. We'll fight on. Because it may be, and I say it may be, because God saves sinners. God saves idolaters. God saves men and women who worship themselves rather than God. God saves homosexuals. But God can turn you over to it. God can not give up on you. That's not what it says. Give you up unto these things. Right? Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then Paul gives a list. Now think about it. You don't have to do it right now. You can check me later. But there are 22 particulars after he mentions the first phrase, being filled with all unrighteousness. Do you see that? Now let's read it. Being filled, and that is in the what? Present tense. You see it? Now listen to me. Never isolate this wrath of God to rank idolatry or sexual perversion. Because this list that he begins to give us here exposes us all. Do you hear what I'm saying? Make it as clear as I can. I'm saying that by nature, my heart, the real me by nature, the real me by the fall, is no better than the worst sexual child molester that ever walked on the face of the earth. Being filled with all unrighteousness. And then he gives us 22 things. Fornication. What's this mean? It means the whore and the whoremonger. And you can't have one without the other. Now can you? You can't, can you? The whore and the whoremonger. Adultery. Wickedness. You know what that means? Depravity. Degeneracy. Covetousness. What's that? That's avarice. Greediness. Anybody been exposed yet? Well, I ain't like them idolaters. I ain't never worshipped a rock. I ain't never worshipped a stump. I ain't never did any acts of homosexuality. What about this? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Wait a minute, we're not done yet. We've only scratched the surface. Maliciousness, depraved worthlessness. Do you see that? Anybody need a mediator yet? Anybody need somebody else's righteousness to stand in rather than your own deeds? Huh? Come on now. Well, that's not me. Well, then God ain't opened your eyes yet. Mm-hmm. God ain't opened your eyes. Wait a minute, we're not done. Envy. You know what that means? Ill will. Spiteful. Anybody need a Savior yet? Huh? Come on now. And think about it. These 22 things, after the first initial filled with all unrighteousness, is only a scratch of the surface. Read Paul's other epistles. He names a lot of other things. I could spend hours going through the list. Well, wait a minute. Let's not stop. Murderer. You know what that is? One who kills someone else. Debate. Quarrelsome. Quarrelsome. Anybody need a redeemer yet? Anybody need someone else to stand in the gap for me? What about deceit? It means to bait a trap, to set somebody up. What about malignity? It means down deep mischievousness. Down deep mischievous. Whisperers, that means to falsely accuse someone, to smear them. Backbiters, to talk against someone else. Anybody here ever guilty of that? Now think, God has the right, if that's what you are, to turn you over to a reprobate mind, because he has some folks where they went into the most basest idolatry and sexual perversion that can ever be thought of by the human race. Do you understand now what Paul's saying? He ain't just down in idolatry and homosexuality. He is exposing us for what we really are. And God don't owe us grace. He has the right to turn us over to a reprobate mind. And we think you think you're bad now. You'd be a Jeffrey Dahmer if he just lifts his restraint for a moment. Saved or lost. Do you hear what I'm saying? Wait a minute, we're not done yet. Haters of God. You know what that means? Someone who doesn't worship God for who he is. Now I said, not just don't worship. Everybody worships some God, even if the God's down in here. But it's someone who doesn't worship God for who he is. Despiteful. That, you know what that means? To be insulting. You ever insulted anybody? God could turn you over to a reprobate mind. Now I've told you all this before. Years ago I began to read this in my home. And God had evidently opened my eyes, Jack Mathis. And I thought, oh, my lands. I fit so many of those things. Maybe God's turned me over to a reprobate mind. My corruption was exposed to me. I didn't even know who Christ really was then. But God brought me into there. Anybody need a Savior yet? Let's go on. Proud. You know what proud? Self-righteousness. Boasters. You know what that means, don't you? You ever bragged about yourself? God could turn you over to a reprobate mind. Do you see that? Inventors of evil things. It means to contrive things to hurt others. Disobedient to parents. Obstinate rebellion to authority. You know it? Anybody need a redeemer yet? Anybody starting to fear God yet? Well, but God owes... No! All God owes us is wrath, condemnation, and judgment, because we're all exposed here. There's not a person in this building or a person who will ever hear me that is not under these pronouncements, even if it's just one. Ellen, I don't think I can say just nobody. There's anybody that just has one. Anything been exposed about you yet? Well, let's go on. Without understanding. What do you mean? Having no prudence. Is there some people in this world, they just got no understanding? Do what makes you feel good. Right? Do what makes you feel good. Covenant breakers. This means treacherous. They cannot be trusted. Cannot be trusted. Without natural affection. Oh, me. Hard-hearted toward kinfolk. Anybody need a Savior yet? Anybody want to stand before God in your own works yet? We're not done yet. We got a couple more. Implacable. You know what that means? You can't be reasoned with.
You ever had your spell? I don't care if it's one spell. You ever had that spell where no matter what argument someone told you, you just were not going to listen? Anybody ever been there? Anybody need someone else to stand before God for him yet? One more, unmerciful. No compassion. No compassion. Let me tell you something, folks. God exposes me in every one of these things. And this, if God ever opens your eyes, will lay you in the dirt and you'll have nowhere else to flee but to Jesus Christ. Listen to what Thomas Brooks wrote. That wrath, that great wrath, that fierce wrath, that pure wrath, that infinite wrath, that matchless wrath of an angry God that was so terribly impressed upon the soul of Christ, quickly spent his natural strength and turned his, that's Christ's moisture, into the drought of summer. And that's what the book says, Psalms 32, verse 4. And yet, all this wrath he patiently underwent that sinners might be saved and that he might bring many sons unto glory, Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Oh, the wonder of God's love. Right in the midst of his pouring out his wrath upon his son. Do we understand now? Look at what Christ suffered for. He bore our sins, these things, in his own body on the tree. And God the Father turned his back on him. Why? So he would not have to turn his back on us. I got one more to give you. Bear with me just a moment. Let me find it. Christ, our righteousness. This is by Horatius Bonner. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10, 4. In another's righteousness we stand, and by another's righteousness we are justified. All accusations against us founded upon our unrighteousness, we answer by pointing to the perfection of the righteousness which covers us from head to foot, in virtue of which we are unassailable by law as well as shielded from wrath. Thy work alone, O Christ, can cease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not mine, O Lord, to thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. That's the only place God ever shows yourself, ever reveals yourself right there in that passage. That's the only place you'll ever find hope.